Thank you. I remember back in the spring of 2003 when I came for the second of my two search committee interviews here at the Manchester Church of the Brethren. I don't remember the exact day off the top of my head, but I do remember this. It was spring cleanup week. And I remember that because I remember Jim Garber had picked me up at the Fort Wayne Airport to bring me here, and as we were driving into the town of North Manchester, he said to me, "Isn't that beautiful?" And as he made that statement, he kind of waved his hand at the scene before us. I looked around carefully, but I was confused. What was he talking about? The piles of cast-off furniture and old boards and box springs and broken toys at the ends of driveways? Beautiful? I tried to figure out how to respond, and it took me a few moments to shake off my confusion, and then suddenly I realized what was going on. Suddenly I understood that we were seeing two very different scenes. I was seeing piles of spring cleanup trash at the end of each driveway. I had never seen such a thing, junk at the end of every driveway. I knew nothing about the once-a-year spring cleanup week. But that wasn't what he was talking about. What Jim saw, what he was referring to, were the trees, many of them flowering, bursting into color. North Manchester is, after all, a town of trees, right? Red buds and flowering pears and crab apples and lilac bushes. "Isn't it beautiful?" he said. And after a moment's hesitation, I was able to respond, "Yes. Yes, it is." I wonder sometimes whether we are seeing the same things around us. Do you see trees while I see trash? Do you see problems while I see potential? Do you see beauty while I see something unfamiliar or inconvenient or even just something that's not my style? Do you see change and uncertainty and trouble while I see energy and curiosity and imagination? Some of what we see depends, I suppose, on our perspectives. Some of it depends, I suppose, on how much we open our eyes, and our open eyes then connect with our open hearts. Or maybe some of what we see or are able to see depends on how much space we've made for the Spirit to move within us. Or maybe some of it has something to do with the matter of what we want to see. Or maybe it's this. Maybe some of us are dreamers and others are not. That is, some of us see things in full color while others see only the stark outlines. Some of us are dreamers and others are not. That is, some of us see something as beautiful where others only see something as different. Some of us are dreamers and others are not. That is, some of us see future hope where others only see the present limited realities. Some of us are dreamers and others are not. That is, some of us see life blossoming, blooming, where others see life slipping away, escaping our grasp. Some of us are dreamers and others are not. That is, some of us see possibilities for justice, where things have been unfair for far too long, where others see that things are what they are and probably aren't going to change. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, John writes, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. The river of life, flowing down the middle of the street. Can you see it? What does it look like? The most recent issue of the Christian Century magazine is the spring book issue, the one where they review and recommend books on theology and biblical study and such, but they always slip another thing or two into that issue, and this time around, it's some reflection about racism and specifically reparations. In the editorial, the editors write about how Representative John Conyers of Detroit tried to get a House bill passed every year he was in Congress from 1989 until his retirement in 2017, a bill to form a commission to study the impact of slavery and to, quote, consider a national apology and proposal for reparations for the institution of slavery. The nation's subsequent de jure and de facto racial and economic discrimination against African Americans and the impact of these forces on African Americans. The commission, had it been established, would have also been instructed to recommend appropriate remedies, quote unquote. The legislation never passed. The editors noted that people often object to such ideas as reparations for slavery because of the, quote, impossibility of calculating and paying a monetary debt for something that happened so long ago and involved people who are long dead. But they note that this conversation is also about all the laws and policies that have continued to cause injury and violation of rights, and that money is one thing, but there's also the work to be done of grappling with history. So, to put that in context, what does the river of life flowing down the middle of the street look like? To some, it looks like a flood. To others, it looks like a cleansing stream of justice. What does it look like to you? The river of life. The vision of a river of life. In the same issue of the magazine, Peter Marty, in his From the Publisher column, writes about two African-American boys in North Carolina who were 8 years old in 1958 when a little white girl kissed them each on the cheek on a dare. She went home and told her mother, and then her mother called the police, who arrested the two 8-year-old boys on the charge of molestation. The boys were kept in custody for 6 days, handcuffed and beaten before their parents were allowed to see them. Crosses were burned in the front yards of their houses. Shotguns were fired at their homes. Their parents lost their jobs. The little boys were tried and sentenced to juvenile detention until age 21. The judge later said, since they just stood silent and didn't say anything, I knew that was a confession of guilt. Once the story hit the news, national outrage emerged, and protesters as far away as Europe blasted the failure of justice. And then after 3 months, the boys were released without explanation. The sister of one of the little boys said this, when he returned home, it was like seeing somebody different that you didn't even know. He never talked about what he went through there, but ever since, his mind just hasn't been the same. Marty then turns his column for a moment to some facts about the byproducts of centuries of enslavement, the racial wealth gap in the United States, for example. Today, the median white family's net worth is 10 times that of the median black family's net worth, $171,000 compared to $17,000. Then Marty turns back to the story of the two boys and says this, the families of the two boys never received an apology from authorities. I still feel the hurt and the pain from the whole ordeal, says James Thompson, one of the two, who is now 69 years old. Nobody ever said, hey, look, I'm sorry for what happened to y'all. It was wrong. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. The river of life, what does it look like? Reparations, maybe? How about even an apology? Do we dream? Do we have a vision of a world where people who do the wrong thing see what they have done and say at the very least, hey, look, I'm sorry for what happened to you all. It was wrong. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Bright as crystal? Just to begin with those words, I'm sorry? What a vision. What a dream. There are lots of things we could dream about if we were holding the image of the river of the water of life in our minds, a river crystal bright flowing down the middle of the street in the city of God. Would we be dreaming dreams of a world where no child goes to bed hungry? Would we be dreaming dreams of environmental responsibility? Would we be dreaming dreams of honest conversations in the political arena? Would we be dreaming dreams of job retraining for people whose jobs have disappeared in a changing economy? Would we be dreaming dreams of reforms in the legal justice and prison system, or dreams of adequate and accessible health care, or dreams of open arms extended to refugees? What would you dream about? What does the river of the water of life, the one that flows from the throne of God right down the middle of the street, look like? Maybe it starts with a dream of kindness. I know that doesn't sound like such a big deal, but I think the river of the water of life is fed from the spring of kindness. Do you know Mary Oliver's poem, In the Storm? It's one of my favorites. It goes like this. Some black ducks were shrugged up on the shore. It was snowing hard from the east, and the sea was in disorder. Then some sanderlings, 5 inches long with beaks like wire, flew in, snowflakes on their backs, and settled in a row behind the ducks, whose backs were also covered with snow, so close they were all but touching. They were all but under the roof of the ducks' tails, so the wind pretty much blew over them. They stayed that way, motionless, for maybe an hour. Then the sanderlings, each a handful of feathers, shifted and were blown away, out over the water, which was still raging. But somehow they came back, and again the ducks, like a feathered hedge, let them crouch there and live. If someone you didn't know told you this, as I am telling you this, would you believe it? Belief isn't always easy, but this much I have learned, if not enough else, to live with my eyes open. I know that what everyone wants is a miracle. This wasn't a miracle, unless, of course, kindness, as now and again some rare person has suggested, is a miracle, as surely it is. Do you dream of ducks and sanderlings and snow and wind and kindness? Do you have visions of miracles, even small ones? Like someone sheltering someone else, like a feathered hedge, letting them crouch there and live? Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. I was dreaming in my sleep in the early hours of Thursday morning this week. It was one of those distressing, disturbing dreams. And then crashing rain and booming thunder came into the dream. And then I woke up and realized the thunderstorm wasn't in my dream. It was outside at 5 a.m. in the morning. There are times when I am not sure what is a dream and what is real. Hazy times when dreams give way to reality, or when reality intrudes on dreams. Maybe that's a good thing to know, that the line between vision and awareness, between dreams and reality, doesn't have to be all that sharp. Because then maybe we can dream some things into reality, or dream our way out of some realities. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. The river of the water of life flowing down the middle of the street. Can you see it? What does it look like? Is it crystal bright? Is it the water of the stream of justice rolling down? Is it a healing river? Is it water washing away our sins? Is it fed with a spring of kindness? Is it carrying along hope and possibility? Can you see it? Can you dream it? This river of the water of life? Let us pray. Give us visions of hope and healing, O God, visions of justice and restoration, visions of a world where there is apology and forgiveness, visions of a world where living water flows freely. Give us visions, O God, of the city of God, visions of trees of life, visions of a time where there will be no need of the light of lamp or sun, for you will be our light, and your glory will shine forth through us and throughout the nations, throughout the world. Give us such visions, O God, that we might dream your kingdom into our midst. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.